Real music, real interviews, real information. That's why we call it Real Gospel with the X-Man.
Pastor E. Dewey Smith pastors one of the largest churches in the city of Atlanta. I got an opportunity to visit his church over a year ago. I'll talk to him about that during the interview. But here's his song called Your Presence is a Gift. And right after that, we'll speak with the one and only Pastor E. Dewey Smith. This is Real Gospel.
I'm a man blessed beyond my dreams, but it don't mean nothing. Life's not good as it seems. Love and riches, what do they really mean? They may come and go, but you will never leave. So save your treasure, we find our pleasure. All our joy is in you, just want more of you. So save your treasure, we find our pleasure in you.
Your presence is a gift.
Your presence is a gift.
And I'm thankful because
you are our reward.
Your presence.
Your presence is a gift.
Your presence is a gift.
Your presence is a gift.
Father, we're desperate for your presence. Like we need air, like we need water. More than anything, we need your presence.
We find
our pleasure. All our joy is in you.
In your presence, there's fullness of joy. Now your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore.
So say,
we found our pleasure. It's in you. It's in you.
You are our reward.
Your presence.
Your presence is a gift.
Your presence is a gift.
I'm thankful because
you
your presence.
Your presence is a gift.
Your presence is a gift.
Your presence is a gift.
I said you.
Your presence is a gift.
I'm thankful. I give you glory. I've got to give you honor. Give you praise.
Your presence.
In your presence, there's fullness of joy. At your right hand, there's pleasures forevermore.
Having you,
it is plenty.
That
simple means you're more than enough.
All I need.
I find
presence is my gift. Your presence is a gift that I need.
Real Gospel is the place where God gets the glory and artists tell their stories. I am honored to welcome to the program this giant in the gospel, just the gospel, let's put it like that. Pastor E. Dewey Smith, welcome to Real Gospel.
Thank you so much, Hicks. Thanks for having me be here. I appreciate you so much, and thanks for all you do for the people of God.
You're welcome, sir. To God be the glory. Now, I'm very familiar with you because I was actually at your church maybe a year ago for Sunday Best. We did the preliminary judging at Sunday Best, and I got a chance to see Kurt Franklin and all those guys. That was your church, correct?
That's correct. Yeah, they've been coming. We've been hosting the East Coast auditions for Sunday Best since the show started.
So, wow.
So we go way back with them, and we've been blessed to see a lot of the winners, eventual winners, who auditioned at our facility. So,
yes. Beautiful, beautiful church. And I also came to understand, which I did not know until I got the tour, that that's actually the church that they use for the filming of the show Greenleaf, when Greenleaf was on the air.
That's correct. When Oprah was getting ready to produce that show, they wanted, you know, a facility that would give them, you know, enough space and that resembled, you know, worship a cathedral, but also have space to do other things. And so about 40% of the show was shot there. A lot of the office scenes, hotel scenes, basketball scenes. So they were able to do incredible things with the campus. So for many years.
That's incredible, because up until that moment, I thought that they were filming that in Memphis someplace. I kept saying, what church is that? What church is that in Memphis? What church? So does that happen? A lot of people confuse.
Yes, because of the storyline.
Gotcha.
But yeah, people didn't know. Yeah, because you know, Atlanta, you know, a lot of things are even shot here. but it's a storyline.
Amen. Amen. And so this song, and I'll get to it because I know that you're an extremely busy person. But your song, your presence is a gift. I love the song. The listeners love the song. This has just been an outstanding, you know, a gift to the body of Christ. Talk to us about this particular song and the project.
Well, let me be honest with you that the song, the presentation of that song, really came out of a painful place. You know, 5 years ago, back in 16, 1 week, my godmother died, and we were expecting that because she'd been ill for a while. The next week, my mother died.
Oh.
And she didn't tell me she was leaving. 3 days after my mother died, my best friend passed 1 hour after we just spoke on the phone.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
And then 3 weeks after my mother died, my sister died.
Oh.
So I had to preach 4 eulogies in 4 weeks, pick out 4 caskets. And then 5 days after my sister was buried, my brother had a massive stroke. So to say the least, here I am. I've been preaching faith, but I was in a bad place. I had never been that broken and wounded, and I went into a severe depression, to be honest with you. It was hard to focus, you know, and people tell me, just preach your way through it. A lot of my oldest preachers, just preach, because preaching is cathartic.
Yes.
But it wasn't. I was so hurt. I was so traumatized. And I think sometimes we think that just putting scriptures on something and just praise your way through it, you know, as if it anesthetizes pain. And I was hurt, you know, think about if you're in a car accident and it's a terrible car accident. Nobody tells you, pray your way through your pain, pray your way through a concussion, praise your way through a broken leg. When that's trauma, sometimes you got to go to the doctor. And when I went through that level of emotional trauma, while I do believe in prayer and scriptures, I needed to go talk to somebody. And I went and got therapy, and I kept reading the Word of God. And then 8-9 months into it, I didn't handle it well. I made some bad choices. But then the Spirit of God came to me about maybe 10 months into it and said, son, so you have been fixating on your mom's and your sister's absence. you haven't been appreciating my presence.
Wow.
And so stop focusing on what you lost and why you are grieving and why your grief is real, why your trauma is real. And you can talk to a therapist, you know. It's okay. If you have wisdom tooth problems, you don't praise your way through it. You go to a dentist, you know.
Yes.
And so you can talk to people. You can have Jesus and a therapist. But if you get into my presence, and so that song resonates with me. Because a lot of people have experienced so much loss, particularly over the last year. And I'm hoping that even those who've gone through that level of trauma and pain and coronavirus, you know, having to say goodbye to loved ones over Zoom or FaceTime, my prayer is that when they hear that word, that song, your presence is a gift, that whatever is absent from their lives, God's presence will make up the difference and strengthen them for the rest of the journey.
Amen. Amen. That's truly touching, and you will continuously be in all of my thoughts and prayers.
Thank you so much. That is tremendous.
And so I have to ask you, because you are a pastor, I guess carrying the burden of all this and then having to still stand before the people and of course due to COVID, probably not as much, but still via Zoom, via Facebook, via social media platforms to present the word to the people still. Is that added burden because you are a leader and a leader to so many people to have to suffer in silence?
It's tough because we have so many expectations. And unfortunately, people, you know, think sometimes pastors and leaders are superhuman. And sometimes we act as if we don't go through anything. We act as if we don't have any wounds. And, you know, Jesus would often get away to be refreshed because even he was human. And I think what happens with us is we expect the leaders to do everything, and we don't empower other people, other leaders to help, to serve, you know. And it's okay if somebody needs to sit down for a minute. It's okay if somebody needs to take a break. And the minute and the people around them should be mature enough to not be so personality driven. But it's a serious load, because here's the thing, you know, the preacher, you know, one analogy I heard is the preacher, you know, the pastor is the tow truck that's dispatched when others have had wrecks and mm-hmm. other cars aren't working. So the tow truck is dispatched to pick them up and to get them to a mechanic's office, right? To get them to a shop or a dealership to get service. But here's the question. Who tows the tow truck?
Wow.
What happens when the tow truck needs to be towed? You know, who's gonna come and get the tow truck? And I just think that's the challenge. And I think those moments in my own life, and you know, my own struggles, my own pain, my own humanity, my own mistakes, etc. And I think people expect differently from the leaders. And I think that's problematic. One of the things I love about Jesus, when he got up on Sunday morning after he was resurrected, one of the first things he did to his disciples, he showed them his wounds. He showed them where he had been pierced, you know. And I think part of the problem with us is, you know, we don't show people our wounds, you know. That doesn't mean sharing everything, but letting people know. And I just think, you know, I just think this whole pandemic, all that, is making us develop a deeper sense of God's presence.
Amen.
Because his presence is a gift.
Amen. So when did you begin the transformation, and how that happened between dealing with the loss and now moving to the presence where you're now collaborating to pen this music?
Well, you know, that's a great question. I've always had a vision for music. I grew up, you know, my dad put a guitar in my hand when I was four. I took piano lessons. So I was singing and played the keyboard a little mm-hmm. bit, played the guitar, played the bass and choir director. So
really?
I grew up. Yeah,
wow.
So so I've been musically inclined my whole life, you know, directing choirs in my dad's church. But what happened was when I started preaching at 17,
mm-hmm.
a lot of the older ministers told me, man, if you're gonna be respected as a preacher, you can't be no choir director. And you can't be no musician. People don't respect you. You won't be a preacher. So it put this challenge in my mind that, you know, I grew up with that because even today, you'd be surprised how many pastors who are also musical, they hated when people appreciate the music, but not their preaching gifts.
Mm-hmm. True. True.
I used to talk to Pastor Clay Evans a lot, and one thing, and Marvin Sapp and I, we discussed one of the things that's offensive is somebody says, you are a singing preacher.
Yeah.
People don't realize that for them, it was offensive, because it's like they want to be known as a preacher, but the music, people rather hear them, sometimes hear people sing than preach.
Yes.
So that's going on, folks. I mean, I can tell you.
Stereotype.
Bishop Morton and I have had this conversation. Bishop Marvin Wine and I had this conversation. Donnie McClurk, Shirley Caesar. You'd be surprised.
Yeah.
So it's always been this quandary of preachers who are musically inclined to try to balance it. But the problem is when singing becomes more important than preaching. So I struggled with that and still struggle with it. So I would just sing in church and, do a few, CDs just for ourselves, but nothing serious. But I realized, God gave me a gift, and I got so many songs in me that I'll never record, because I've just been laying dormant on that gift,
Wow.
And I said to myself, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and God gave me a gift and the passion for it, and I can use everything God has given me. And so I decided, I've been praying for this for years, but I just made up my mind within the last, actually during the pandemic, man, go for it. Just go for it.
Amen.
And put it out there, and don't let it be said that God, I would rather try. If nobody buys the music, if nobody enjoys it, that's fine. But at least I use the gifts God gave me. So that's what I'm trying to do. Just use what God gave me, because I think it can be an inspiration, and I think it can help other people. And I want to use that. I just want to use it.
Amen. And you are definitely, definitely using it. He is a pastor who happens to sing, everybody. And, Marvin Sapp said that to me when he was on the show a few years back. He said, I'm just a pastor who happens to sing. And
listen,
so there it is.
Man, listen, Marv, we've had this conversation because it's just because we're sensitive to it because of how we were brought up. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Well, Pastor E. Dewey Smith, can you do two things as we wrap up the interview? If you'd be as kind as to tell the listeners where your church is, how you're having services in case they want to join you, and how they can find your new music, Your Presence is a Gift. How can they find information about you?
Well, my church is called the House of Hope Atlanta, and our website is hohatl.org. That's hohatl.org. We're one church in three locations. And I'm E. Dewey Smith. Our worship services are held. We're streaming now. You can stream our services. We stream it five times on Sundays on all the platforms, social media, on our website, Apple TV, Roku, Twitch, Amazon. On Twitter, I'm E. Dewey Smith. And that's E-D-E-W-E-Y Smith, S-M-I-T-H. On Instagram, I'm E. Dewey Smith. That's E-D-E-W-E-Y Smith. Facebook, I'm the official page of Pastor E. Dewey Smith. YouTube, I'm Dr. E. Dewey Smith. My website, edeweysmith.org.
Amen. There it is. Listen, I really, truly appreciate you making time to join us today. Keep putting out the music, and I promise you, it's real gospel. We shall continue to support you in everything that God puts forth and brings out of you. Amen, Pastor.
Thank you so much, and I appreciate all you're doing. You're doing incredible work and blessing so many people. So thank you for the opportunity.
You're listening to Real Gospel with the X-Men, and the Real Flashback Song of the Hour is on the way.
If you have diabetes and you're on Medicare, you may qualify for a free continuous glucose monitor system. Managing your diabetes is crucial to your health. The new CGM systems can automatically manage your diabetes better for you. And by using a CGM system, you can eliminate forever one thing most people with diabetes hate the most: finger sticks. Now is possible to manage your diabetes better. End the painful finger sticks and get a new CGM monitoring system at little or no cost to you. We even provide in-home delivery and do all the insurance paperwork for you. Now is the best time to manage your diabetes better and get your continuous glucose monitor. Call now for details. 800-396-0150. 800-396-0150. 800-396-0150. That's 800-396-0150.